coming up. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to go to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Most men will proclaim or declare or tell everyone of his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find, let me read that one more time. Most men will tell or proclaim everyone his own goodness. Look at me. Look how good I am. But a faithful man who can find. I wonder if you'd help me pray tonight. Lord, we need you desperately in this place. We need your help. We need your strength. We need your guidance. I pray that you will bless us tonight to hear and receive your word. Let your anointing flow. Let our lives and hearts and minds be instructed and directed by you tonight. In Jesus' name, we give you all the honor and praise and glory. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. A faithful man who can find. In other words, it's easy. Thank you for standing for the word of God, by the way. It's easy to find somebody who is quick to brag on how good they are. I have met people, and I'm sure you have in your life, met people that you get to talking to them a little bit, and you get to talking about, I've talked to many, many men that seem like their conversation's just full of cursing and full of foul language until you say something something to the effect of the things of God. You begin to mention something about God and his goodness, and immediately, oh, they switch and they say, oh, well, praise God, I'm a Christian too. I'm a Christian too. Bible says that you can't have sweet water and bitter water coming out of the same source. It just doesn't happen that way. And so we can't have foul words coming out of the same mouth that blessed words are coming. If we do, then it means that we're just not full of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible talks about that. But I've met people that they can be quick to declare that they're a Christian. And you say, oh, well, that's great. Yes, that's great. They say, oh, my, I'll tell you, I've given so much money to missions, or I've given so much to offerings for this one or that one, or you know what, I helped sponsor an orphanage to be built overseas, I love to follow that good book. I love to hold on to the commandments in the book. Well, it's easy to find somebody who's quick to tell you how good they are, quick to tell you how much of a Christian they are, tell you how quick they are to tell you that they are following Jesus, whether they are or not. But a faithful man is hard to find. And what does that mean? It's one thing to say I'm a Christian and to say that I am walking with God, but yet not be faithful in doing it. It's just like in the Bible, Jesus told a parable of a dad that came to one of his sons. He had two sons, and he came to one of his sons, and he said, hey, I need you to do something for me. And the son said, oh, yes, Dad, be happy to do it. But he never did it, never got around to it. But the father went to his other son, and he gave him a job to do, and the second son said, I'm not going to do it, no. That's not my job. I'm not going to do that. But after the dad walked away, that second son got to thinking about it. And he got to thinking about how, ooh, that was a bit rebellious there. And I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that to my father. I should have been willing to do whatever he asks of me. And so quietly, that second son just went back out there and did what his father asked him to do. So the second son, who said he would do it, never got around to it. The first son that said he would do it never got around to it. The second son, who said he wouldn't do it, he actually went and did it. quietly. He didn't put on a big show. He didn't call everybody and say, I have an announcement to make, everyone. My father asked me to do something, and I told him no. But I just want to announce to everybody that I'm actually going to be a good son, and I'm going to do it. No, he just quietly went and did what his father asked him to do. And Jesus said, which one of these sons did the will of his father? Well, obviously, the second one. Even though he said he wouldn't do it, even though his human nature, even though his flesh got in the way, and his flesh, he had to wrestle with it, he finally overcame his will to not do it, and the spiritual side, if you will, won out, and he ended up doing the will of his father. And sometimes you and I, we can in a good church service, we can make up our minds that we're going to live for God. We're going to serve him forever to the end of our days. It doesn't matter what comes our way. We are going to serve God. We are going to please him. And it's easy for us to say that and intend to do it. And we're purposing in our heart to do it. But it's another thing when Monday rolls around and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And when nobody's looking, nobody's listening except for God, it's another thing for us to go ahead and do what we said we would do. Because it's easy to find somebody who will proclaim, I'm going to do this. I'm going to straighten up and I'm going to do right, or whatever the case is. But a faithful man is one that does it even when he doesn't have an audience. A faithful man is hard to find. And so for just a little bit tonight, I would like to talk on this subject. Faithful overcomers. Faithful overcomers. You know, the Bible talks about the concept of being an overcomer, talks about victory, talks about spiritual battles. It talks about wrestling. We'll get to that in a little bit. But when we look at the term overcoming, when we look at the concept of overcoming, we have to remember that I gave the example recently of when you're wrestling against somebody, and if they're not putting up a fight, you're not really, your overcoming isn't taking any. Anybody can do that, and I think that Brother Jaden probably thinks that he's stronger than Sister Nevaeh, probably, and Sister Nevaeh probably thinks that she's stronger than Josiah, and I think that Brother Jaden, if he said, "Oh yeah, I'm stronger than Josiah," and if we had Brother Jaden come up and he was to push against somebody and push, why don't you try this real quick? Come up here, Jaden. Would you help me out for just a minute? I want everybody to understand this. Amen. You're going to need that cane here in a minute. And so here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. So I want you to push against me, okay? Push in and try to push me. Try to push me backwards. Can you do it? Can you push me backwards? Now, see, he's really fighting. He's really pushing. Keep on. Push hard. Push me backwards. Oh, see, he's trying hard to do it, and he's having a hard time doing it. Thank you, buddy. Thank you. So he pushed hard. Now, Josiah, will you help me real quick? Will you come here and help me real quick? Watch this. Will you come up real quick and help me? Will you help Pastor real quick? How about Nevaeh? Will you come up here and help me real quick? Now you saw Jaden. You saw Jaden pushing me and trying to push me backwards, and he couldn't do it. Did you see that? He was pushing hard. Now, Nevaeh, why don't you push me now? Push me. Oh my goodness! Wow, did you see that? Wow, my, pushed me right down. Now let me ask you a question. Which one overcame? Thank you both for helping me there. Now, Nevaeh, if we said that I wasn't pushing back really hard, and if Jaden was pushing really hard, then if it's easy, and there's really not a fight from the one that you're fighting against, well, it's not much of a fight. But boy, oh boy, Oh boy, just like Brother Jaden up here pushing. When you're pushing and you're trying and you may not be pushing, you may not be gaining a lot of ground and you got that habit that you're trying to overcome and the devil's fighting you, but you're not giving up. You're still pushing and you're pushing hard and you haven't managed to push him back into his chair real easy and the flesh doesn't want to pray and the flesh doesn't want to fast and read the Bible but you're pushing, you don't feel like it, but you're still pushing and you're doing it. Can I tell you that when your flesh doesn't want to pray and you just tell your flesh, we're going to go pray, and you end up praying, guess what? You just overcame the flesh. Whenever your desires, the lust of your natural carnality, when that lust desires after that habit that you are stuck with or a temptation that comes in front of you, and whenever you wrestle with it and when you say, no, I'm not going to give in, and you're praying and you're seeking God, and when you finally say no and you wrestle against that, guess what? You just overcame the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eye or the pride of life, whatever it is. But whenever we go to wrestle against something and our flesh just basically, as soon as we start saying, no, I'm not going to give in, all of a sudden our flesh pushes us down. Wow, it doesn't look like we overcame very much, did we? Well, I still overcame because I overcame for a few minutes. No, if you and I are going to win the battle, it's going to take a fight. The devil isn't just going to sit back and let us push him around. He's going to do the pushing. So if you are not pushing very hard, if you and I are not praying very hard, if you and I are not seeking God very hard, if we're not meditating on the Word of God very hard, and we are overcoming, it's probably not really overcoming. We just think we are. You know, the devil's probably just kind of throwing us a bone and letting us feel like, oh yeah, I let them go to church and they shout and they jump up and down in church and I let them think that they're overcoming. But oh, the next day I'm going to get them. The next day I'm going to pull them back down. I'm going to get them depressed, discouraged. I'm going to get them ready to give up. But I'll let them go to church and they'll think that they're overcoming when they're in church because I'm not going to put up a fight. I'm just going to let them worship God because I know that I'll get them tomorrow when they're on their own. But when you and I wake up and we begin our day, and whenever things come our way, we find out somebody calls us, texts us, sends us a message, whatever, and says, oh man, do you know that what I just read in that post that Bobby said about you? Oh my, you don't want to know what Bobby said about you because it made you look really bad. What? What are you talking about? Huh? Oh, where's Bobby? I'm going to go home. I'm going to take care of business. Well, that's a temptation. That's something that's your old flesh that the temptation is somebody saying, hey, have you heard what people are saying about you? There's the trigger. There's the hot button. There's what pushes your button right there. And it's how we respond to it as to whether we're going to overcome or whether we're going to be overcome. Faithfulness is quietly going about every day what we have committed to adhere to or to embrace or to accomplish. If somebody says, you know what, I'm going to go out in the yard today and I'm going to get all the weeds out of this flower bed in the front here. Somebody says that and they get up there in the morning and they say, I am committing to getting all those weeds out of there. Well, as you begin to work, if pretty soon you get hot, you get thirsty, you get tired, people are texting you or calling you and asking you if you want to go down to Baskin Robbins and they'll buy you ice cream, whatever. And when you and I are distracted and we don't stay committed to the flower bed, then our lack of faithfulness to our commitment, what's going to happen at the end of the day? It's going to be weeds in the flower bed. It's just the way it is. If we are committing to getting all the weeds out, then if we really, really want to see the weeds gone, we've got to stay faithful all day long. What you doing there? What you doing there? Well, I'm just cleaning up all these weeds, getting all these weeds out of the flower bed. Oh, really? Well, you wanna go down to McDonald's and get a soda with me? No, can't do it. I'd like to go, but I've committed to myself that I'm gonna get these weeds done today. So I'm gonna have to tell you, no, I can't go with you. Somebody else pretty soon says, hey, what you doing? Oh, I'm just weeding. I'm about halfway done with this flower bed here. Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we go out and play some ball somewhere? No, can't do it. I'm committed, and I'm going to stay faithful to my commitment to get this weeding done. Pretty soon somebody else comes along and says, hey, what you doing there? Oh, I'm just weeding. I'm about three-fourths of the way done. I'm almost done. I can see the end in sight. I've been working out here all day, but I'm determined I'm going to get this done today. Oh, really? Well, why don't you just stop and take a break? In fact, I was thinking about going fishing for a couple hours before it got dark. You want to go with me? Oh, man, no. Oh, boy, I really like fishing. And what's that? Oh, the fish are biting good? Ooh. Oh, boy, now I really want to go. Well, but no, I can't. I've got to stay faithful and to my commitment to get this weeding done. I mean, you're going to have to go fishing on your own this time. I'll go with you next time, okay? But right now, I got to stay faithful and committed. And so you keep on working. Pretty soon, you pull up that last weed. And whenever you get all the weeds out of the flower bed, all of a sudden, here's what happens. The first person, they come by tomorrow, the one that tried to get you to go to McDonald's, and they look and they go, wow, that looks great. How did you get that done? The best answer you can have is, I told you no. I told you I was not going to do it. I'm going to stay faithful. And then the next one comes by and says, oh, my, look at that. That's great. No, I told you no, too. And the third one, no, I told you no. I told everybody no, I'm going to stay faithful. What was the difference? If he had not stayed, if the person wasn't faithful to the commitment of getting the weeds done, what would have happened if there were still weeds in the flower bed? Here's probably what would have happened. That first person that came along and invited you, they might walk along, other neighbors walk down the street, and boy, sure are a lot of weeds in that flower bed. Yeah, that's Sam's flower bed. He never weeds it. He always starts. I see him get started, but he's just not faithful to it. He doesn't stay on the job. He gives up too quick, and I see him running off with friends and doing stuff. So Sam just, he doesn't stay faithful to his commitment. Pretty soon somebody comes along and says, oh, man, let's see. I need somebody to weed my flower bed. It's going to be an all-day job, but I'm willing to pay big dollars to get that flower bed weeded. In fact, I'm willing to pay so much that if they'll work all day long, I'll give them $1,000 to weed this flower bed. Oh, my. I wonder who I could find to weed this flower bed, but it's got to be done today because I've got company coming over tomorrow, and I don't want any weeds. It's got to look good. Who could I get? Who could I call on that would be faithful to do this flower bed? And somebody, here's Sam, and he runs into him, and Joey says, hey, Sam, man, I'm looking for somebody to weed my flower bed, and I'm willing to pay them $1,000. Probably take them all day long, but man, I'm willing to pay big bucks because I need it done tomorrow, and it's got to be done tomorrow. Do you know of anybody? Sam goes, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'm the man. I'm the one. And Joey looks at him and says, no, man, you're not faithful. I've walked too many times and saw you start on the weeds, but you don't finish. You get distracted easily by things that you want to do or things that others entice you to do. And so, no, you know what? I'm sorry. I've got to find somebody else because you're good at starting things, but you're not good at quietly, faithfully finishing. Do you see the picture of the difference in faithfulness and bragging? It's one thing when you go around and you brag and you say, man, I'll tell you, I can sure clean out a flower bed. Yeah, you might be able to, but you don't do it. There's a difference in faithful versus non-faithful. 1 Timothy 6:20, the ESV says it like this. It says, O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. What's he talking about? What deposit is he talking about? Timothy. Paul's talking to Timothy. He says, Timothy, listen, I have taken time to try to help you and to teach you some things which will teach you how to overcome the world, how to overcome the enemy, how to become faithful in the right things, how to make it to heaven, how to live for me, to live for God and please God. But Timothy, those things that I've deposited into you, those Bible scriptures, those principles, those concepts that I have entrusted to you in there, I've deposited them into you. But Timothy, there's a devil that would like to distract you and steal what I've taught you. There's a world out there that has so much glitter and hey, come on over here. We'll have a good time. Hey, you don't have to do all that holy rolling churchy stuff. God doesn't expect that of you. We've got our own little church. It's a deck of 52, and there's 66 books in the Bible. Well, our religion has 52 cards in it, and if you'll come on over to our place, we'll have church and we'll have a good time, but it'll be fun. And everything that goes on in there doesn't need to get out. Nobody needs to know. It's our little secret kind of a men's group. You know what I mean? And those things are a distraction that the world tries to bring. Those things are a temptation that you have to say no to. But you know, if you and I are aware of the devil's traps, if we are aware of the world's arm reaching out for us, and we are determined that we want to be faithful to collect the promise that God has given to us, then we're going to be in the position that Timothy was when Paul said, Timothy, guard it. What's going to happen if you go home tonight and you say, okay, well, it's time for bed. Everybody, let's get in bed. If you live alone or if you live with a family, whatever the case is, and you go get ready for bed and you say, let me turn all the lights out and get everything done. Oh, here's the front door. I left the front door open. Wow, that's funny. I left it not only unlocked, but I left it wide open. But you know what? I'll just leave it open. Nobody's going to mess with me tonight. I'm just going to go to bed, and I'll leave my front door wide open. And I don't really, nobody's going to try to mess with me. How many of us would do that tonight? We wouldn't. Why? Because we don't trust that if the enemy, whoever that might be, whether we know them or not, if the enemy sees an opportunity to get in the door, the enemy is probably going to try to get in the door. So what do? We guard our house. We guard our safety the best we can by going over and locking the door, making sure that it's closed, making sure it's locked, making sure that everything's locked down. What are we doing? We're guarding over what we have. We're guarding over our lives, our safety, our security. Timothy, guard the deposit. Don't just sit back and say, well, I don't have to guard it. It's, you know, I can be in the world, and I can even be of the world, but nobody's going to steal it. I mean, my goodness, I'm a Christian, and I want to make it to heaven, and nobody's going to pull me away from it. No, Timothy, guard it. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Well, let me translate that into today's lingo. Timothy, guard over what you've been taught. Guard over what's been taught to you that's right and what's wrong. Be careful and avoid the casual babble, talk, preaching, and the contradictions or differences of what is falsely called religious doctrine, knowledge. Be careful about the man on the TV, a lot of other things I could call it, but on the TV, that he looks like that he knows so much about the Bible. Be careful about men who claim to be answer men that know it all. Be careful, because sometimes what they are saying is knowledge. And if you listen to me, I've got all the knowledge and I can direct you how to make it to heaven. You got to be very, very careful. You got to be real careful. If you and I decided, you know what, I need to go to Montana, and I got to be there really quick. It's important. And we left here, and we're driving down the road, and we get on the freeway, and our phone doesn't work, GPS. We don't have maps. We don't have anything. And we get down, and pretty soon we don't know where we are. We're like halfway there, but we're in some little town. We don't have any idea of which way to go. And we see some guy sitting on the side of the road holding up a cardboard sign that says, "I'm homeless, but I'm not dirty." And he has a sign that says, I need help. But he looks like a fella that just escaped out of prison last night. In fact, he might even still have the orange jumpsuit and one of those bracelets, you know, hanging from his leg or his thing. And he's got a cardboard sign. And as you stop at the light, he says, hey, where are you going? You say, I don't know. I'm trying to get to Montana. He goes, I can tell you how to get there. If you'll let me jump in the car with you, I'll direct you how to get there. How many of you and I would trust him? No way. Not even. Why? Because he falsely claims to have the knowledge that we need to get where we're going. Well, that's how the world is. That's how the devil is. That's how a lot of these famous frontline Hollywood preachers are. We got to be careful, because there's so many of them that just say, you don't need to pay attention to Acts 2:38. Can I tell you that they're trying to proclaim a false knowledge, and it'd be real easy for you and I to go, oh, well, that sounds like a quicker way to get there. I think I'll follow what he says instead of all that hard stuff that they preach at my church. He said, Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted you. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you. Remember, we talked about overcoming the enemy, overcoming temptations. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Can I say that sometimes we can look at temptation, and it's a fine line. It's a fine line. Can I tell you that if temptation comes to your front door and knocks on the front door, and you open the door and let temptation in your house, you are asking for trouble. It's just the way it is. But if temptation comes and knocks on your door, and you slam the door shut and say, no way, and then temptation goes around and tries the window and tries to come in, and you go and you slam the window shut and lock it and say, no way, and then temptation goes around and like the big bad wolf and the three little pigs, and he goes up to the chimney and he's going to come down the chimney to get in your house. If the enemy's going to do that and temptation's going to do that, and you catch him and you say, no way, I'm going to build a Holy Ghost fire in my fireplace, and you're not getting down my chimney. When you and I are working hard to keep temptation away, can I tell you that temptation is going to come your way? But are you going to invite it in? Are you going to court it? Are you going to date temptation? Or are you going to say no? No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. But God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. What does that mean? That means that if you had, well, let me I'm always using alcohol as an example. It's one we use. So I'll use a different one. I'll use a joint. How's that? I'll use a joint. We believe that the Bible is not in support of us using marijuana. So I'm going to use marijuana for an example here. But if that were your temptation, and that was something that you were really tempted by, and you're trying hard to live for God, and then all of a sudden somebody offers you, in fact, it's probably not just joints anymore. They got so many things going on now. Ooh, can't keep up. But if somebody offers you that marijuana and that's your temptation, and you say, See there, I just gave in because I'm not strong enough. You know, God should not let me be tempted with things that I can't overcome. The Bible says, and if we believe anything in the Bible, we have to believe the whole Bible. And if the Bible says that God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. What does that mean? Hey, listen, we got a party this Friday night, and there's going to be some good stuff there. You wanna go join us? No, I better not. Oh, come on, man. No, I better not. I'm trying to be Christian, trying to be good, and trying to be faithful. Oh, come on, man. I'll tell you what. In fact, I'll tell you what. You don't even have to wait for the party. Here, try this real quick. Just one little bit won't hurt you. And you go, okay. Well, you didn't push hard enough. You didn't fight hard enough. You just let the temptation push you back. And you say, oh, God caused me to be tempted above my ability. No, he didn't. You had the ability to fight back, but you and I chose not to fight back. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape. What's the way of escape? No, listen, man, I don't want to go to party. Oh, come on, man. We miss you. Come on, you can come. No, I need to be faithful. Come on, man. Listen, here. I'll tell you what. Here, come over here with me. No. Here, I'll tell you what. I'm going to grab you and drag you to this party. Oh, no, you're not. I'm running away. I'm getting out of here. What are you doing? God provided you a way of escape. It's called take your two legs and run the other way. That's your way of escape. But when you and I just hang out and expect that God's going to send angels down that's going to stand on your shoulders and lean over and look at the tempter and say, no, he really doesn't want to go. Leave him alone. That's not how it works. God says, I'm going to give you the ability to say no and escape the temptation. But you better take the fire escape. You better take the fastest exit out of your situation. Don't just hang out there. Romans 12 and 17. This is a good one. Here's one we wrestle with. Especially when we're driving and somebody cuts us off and honks her horn and yells at us. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Now, I'm sure we all understand that you know, God has given us language to communicate with. So if somebody says, "Would you like cheese on your?" On your cheeseburger, on your burger, you and I have the ability to communicate and say yes or no. I mean, it's communication. God has given it, and there are some people that are deaf and they can't hear, and people actually use sign language. You know, you all have seen that. You all have seen sign language that people can communicate with, and so if somebody's asking them a question, then they can communicate back with all the sign language. I don't even want to start. I'll probably say the wrong sign. But sign language is a way to communicate. But I trust and hope that we all understand that when we're driving a car or when somebody really makes us mad and we're going down the highway, that there is sign language that certain people use in other cars. They usually hold up one of their hands and they've got most of their fingers all down. And that sign language that they're communicating to you is something that can be a hot button for some, and they can say, oh, you're not going to do that to me. You're not. Well, let me just say, if you and I try to repay evil for evil, and all of a sudden you say, you know what, makes me so mad, and you just, you know, offer them the same sign language back. Can I tell you that there's people watching you? There's people that are going to see you and say, wow, I can't believe what I just saw. I saw him or her, wow, that sign language they used, oh, I thought they were a Christian. We never know who's watching or who's going to be affected or who's going to be impacted. I remember one time I was driving along. I hadn't been driving but just a couple of years, if I remember right, and I was going down the road, and all of a sudden, in my little truck, I looked in the rearview mirror, and I saw a friend of mine, a guy that went to church with me, and I saw him, and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to mess with him. So I started slowing down, and he's on my bumper, and he's trying to get somewhere, and I'm watching him in the mirror, and I'm just, you know, being ornery, not intending to do anything particular, and I slowed way down, and he tried to pass me, and I kind of got over so he couldn't pass, and he's getting mad. I can see him. He doesn't know who I am. He didn't know that was me. He just knows there's a car in front of him that's really holding him up, and as I looked in the mirror, I saw he was really getting mad, and he starts yelling. I can't hear him, of course. I'm looking in my rear view mirror, but he's yelling, and he's shaking his fist at me, and thankfully he didn't use any sign language, but he's obviously not happy, and so anyways, I was getting where, and I went to turn the corner, and he followed me, and I thought, oh boy, well, maybe he just wants to say hi, and you know, so I pulled over the curb. And he jumped out of his car, and he started coming up there. And I went out, and I said, hey, how you doing? He went, oh, I didn't know it was you. He goes, oh, man, I was really getting mad there because he goes, oh, you were just messing with me. I said, yeah. I wonder if he was glad that he didn't use any sign language. I wonder if he was really glad because we get to the same church, and he proclaimed to be a Christian just like me. He probably thought that I was just somebody that never went to church, but he refrained, thank God, from doing anything that would be a major reproach on his walk with God. And the Bible says, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. That means when somebody throws you some sign language or hollers at you and cusses you out, it might be a good opportunity for us to say, you know what, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to do that. God bless you. I'll be praying for you to have a safe trip. Boy, that'll really make him mad, by the way, probably. But just do have the right spirit and say the right thing, and you'll be doing what is honorable in the sight of all, including the person that's mad at you. You never know if that might have an impact. They might think, you know what, that's funny. Today, I was really mad at a driver, and I swerved around him, and I honked my horn, and almost ran him off the road, and I just really, really was cursing at him and all, and then we ended up at the stoplight, and his window was down, so I rolled down my window, and I'm just cursing at him, and he just looked at me, and he smiled, and he had just a peaceful look on his face, and he said, you know what, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to do that, you know, hope you'll forgive me, and you know what, I'll be praying for you, a safe trip. And I didn't know what to say. You know, I can imagine he's telling his wife or his buddies, but he said, I didn't know what to say, I've never had that happen before, I don't know who he was, but you know what, kind of makes me think if he had something real like that going on in his life, I need that. You know what? I think I'm just, it's been a long time since I've been to church, and things are going bad in my life. I'm gonna go home. I'm going to talk to my family, and this Sunday we're going to church. Now, you drive on. You never know that, but what you've done is you have acted in a way that's honorable, and you never know who you're going to have an impact on, including the one that is throwing attacks towards you. Leave it to the wrath of God. Don't avenge yourselves, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Here's how we are sometimes as the children of God, as Christians who have been washed in the blood, and we want to make it to heaven. You know, somebody does something wrong to us, and Jesus says, now remember, vengeance is mine. Leave it up to me. I will repay. No! God, I want to do it. God, let me do it. Oh, God, if you'll just let me get one good swing at them, I'll show them. God, just let me do it one time. In fact, as soon as I'm done, I'll be repenting, and I'll ask for your forgiveness. But just let me get one good swing in to them. That's the human way. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. In our last scripture for the night, Ephesians 6 and 10. He'd been preaching in his letter to the church at Ephesus. He'd been writing several chapters. And he got to this part, talking about being overcoming. And he said, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of your own might. Is that what it says? Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of your own might, your own strength. Is that what it says? No. In the strength of his might. You know what that means? Just when you put that all together, I'm not an English major, but if you were, you kind of break that sentence up and you put it, the last half of that sentence gives an implication or basically infers that in order to be strong in the Lord, you're going to have to be strong in his might. In other words, it basically alludes to the idea that you can't be strong in your own might. It's going to take his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. What do you mean stand? Well, if I'm here and the devil and I meet the devil and he starts pushing on me, here's what's going on. If I want to be an overcomer, I'm going to be pushing back, right? He's pushing against me and I'm pushing back. But let me just ask you a question. If I see the devil and I go, oh, I just don't have the strength. Oh, it was a good service Sunday, and I felt a touch of the Holy Ghost, but I just, you know, there's been too much pulling on me in the world, and I just don't think I can make it anymore. I barely can go. My own strength just isn't that strong. If the devil comes up to me, how much chance do I have of overcoming him when he's standing pushing on me and I'm down here, beat down, no strength? Can I tell you? That's why it says, put on the whole armor of God. Why? So that you can stand, not lay down against the wiles of the devil, but you can stand against the devil's schemes. If we don't put on the whole armor of God, we can't stand against the devil. Why? Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. When your coworker says, hey, man, you got a problem with me? Hey, why don't we take it out back? You're wrestling with flesh and blood. And if you're not careful, your flesh is going to get torn and it's going to be your blood bleeding out. Sometimes we just got to prove that we're bigger and badder than whoever it is that's coming against us. But we don't wrestle. Talking about we. Who's we? Those who are Christians, those who are trying to get to the other side faithfully and be a faithful Christian and please God and make it. Those bunch of people who's not of the world. They're in the world but not of the world. They're not getting distracted by the things of the world, but they're in prayer all the time. Every day they make sure that they pray. Every day they try to read the Bible and they try to make it to church every time they can and they try to keep their mind on the things of God and they unplug things that are distracting and they don't go get books that they shouldn't be reading and they're trying. That group of people says, for we, talking about those people, do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Hey, you got a problem with me? No. Yeah, I think you do, man. I think you got a problem with me. You're looking at me funny. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. No, you got a problem. Come on, let's go. Let's go do something about it. Meet me in the back. We'll take care of it right now. I don't know what you're talking about. Can I tell you that there's nothing that you're confronting me with that would be worth a fight. I didn't mean to do it. I'm sorry. Two words that'll get you out of a fight really quick. I'm sorry. Not too many times do two guys really, really go to strong blows when one's saying, man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Usually it doesn't happen. Usually it's when neither one will say they're sorry that one of them is determined to make the other one sorry. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? If we're not wrestling against my coworker and my family, and if I'm not wrestling against the neighbor, if I'm not wrestling against people that are doing me wrong, who am I wrestling with if I'm a Christian? I'm wrestling against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. What does that mean? That means, as I get ready to close, that I've got to be diligent and faithful to my commitment to please God and hear him say, well done. If I'm committed to that and I'm faithful to that commitment, suddenly it means that I'm not fighting with everybody around me. That doesn't have my interest. What does have my interest is when the devil's trying to push me around, I'm on my knees and I'm saying, God, oh, I wish the devil was a man. I'd just take it out on him, but I know he's not. And I know that I don't have my own strength to overcome him. But God, you promised that if I can have your strength and your might, that I can be an overcomer. So God, I'm praying, I'm seeking you, I'm meditating on you, I'm pushing out the world. I want to be an overcomer. But God, if I'm going to be an overcomer, I've got to be a faithful overcomer. Faithful overcomers are true overcomers. Too many Christians claim to be an overcomer, boasting their own goodness. It's easy to find somebody that proclaims their own goodness, but it's hard to find a faithful man. It's easy to find somebody that says, oh, yeah, man, I was in service on Sunday, and I went to that church down there, you know, that real big church that they've got all kinds of programs, and I like that church because, you know, there's no rules, and in fact, you know, you can take pie in the church, you can take donuts in the church, you could probably take an In-N-Out burger in there if you wanted, and they'd never say anything right in the middle of church, and that preacher, he is the coolest guy. He is the coolest guy. Can you stand up for just a minute, Brother Austin? If you can stand up for just a minute here, I need to borrow your chair here. If you'll grab that chair right here. So that church, the reason I like them so much, that church, is because, you know, I go in there and I can eat my cheeseburger in service and all, and I can sit here. And that preacher, he's so cool. He wears a T-shirt, a white T-shirt with holes in it. And he wears, well, he doesn't have a lot left in the pants. They're full of holes. But he just wears, you know, old scrunchy jeans and a T-shirt. Makes me feel comfortable. You know, he never tries to dress up or anything. He tries to dress down. And when he talks, it's like he's talking to his homies, you know. I like that preacher. And you know what I like the best about him? He's always got a coffee cup sitting here, one of them, you know, coffees, expensive coffees, foo-foo coffees, and he drinks it a lot, and that means he's a cool preacher, and that's why I like that preacher. That's why I like that church so much. It's so easy. There's no rules. I don't have to work hard on it, and you know the best part about it? Preacher, I go in there, and you know, he gives me a little patty cake sermon. You know, just kind of makes me feel good. And when he's all done, I feel warm and fuzzy inside and never have to repent of anything because he doesn't preach against anything. But I feel real good afterwards. And the thing that's great about it is that when I leave the church, I can go home and, you know, I can go straight to the bar room if I want. I can go out and I can keep on living the life I've been living, and I can go right back to church next Sunday and everything's all good again. I like that kind of a church. There's no rules. There's no rules. Can I tell you? If you and I are going to make it to heaven, we're going to have a fight on our hands. It's not an overcomer just to be a casual Christian and a pushover. And Pastor Joe, I'm telling you, he makes me feel so good. He never preaches against anything, but he makes me feel like I'm ready to go to heaven. And I'm just if he saw what I was doing this last week, he'd probably get embarrassed and blush, you know, but he doesn't know, and after all, you know, Jesus paid it all. I don't have to worry about it. And that's what I like, because there's no fight. It's easy to get to heaven. No, if you and I are going to make it to the other side, there's going to be a fight against the rulers of darkness, against the powers of darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Can I tell you that the devil can't be everywhere at one time, but God can. The devil can't read your mind, but God can. And I think sometimes we just, I can't make it. And we get down on the floor so weak. We ought to just stand up and say, you know what? The devil doesn't have control over me, and I'm not going to give him control over me. So the next time somebody offers me a joint, I'm going to say no. And they offer me the second time, I'm going to say no the second time. They offer me the third time, and I'm going to say, I would appreciate it if you don't ask me again. I don't do those things anymore. And if they keep on, I'm going to take the escape route that God provides. If somebody offers me a bottle of alcohol, I'm going to tell them no. Well, or even a can. Don't just say bottle, because then you'll think it's okay to do a can. No, cans, bottles. I don't care if it's in a Dixie cup. It doesn't matter. If somebody offers me alcohol, I'm saying no. I'm not going to turn back to it. I'm not going to watch the things I used to watch. I'm not going to look at the thing. I'm not going to talk to it. We are going to be overcomers, because I'm going to be faithful, and I'm not giving up until this garden is free of all the weeds. Oh my, there's little weeds of sin that try to creep up in my life, but I'm not going to give up until it's all clean as we all stand. How many want to be a faithful overcomer? Not just a loudmouth overcomer they overcome on Sunday until about the time they get out of church, and then all of a sudden they're just a pushover. No, can I tell you the best way for us to be is to be a faithful overcomer. Faithful in the little things, and you'll be faithful in the big things. This world, but I'm gonna trust in the Lord.